Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. Don't you just feel nice right now? After singing deep in our hearts, there's a part of me that thinks I should be preaching on David, that piece we heard from Samuel, but next week. I'll catch up with David next week. We're just relaxed, and I'm just feeling sentimental, and it's Father's Day today, you know, and I don't preach it often. I don't preach Mother's Day either. Not biblical, you know. But that's not the reason that I don't preach Father's Day. I don't preach Father's Day because my father's a liar, basically. And I looked, he's not here this morning, so I feel safe saying that, because you'll keep that to yourselves, right? You won't tell him. No, I actually have a pretty good relationship with my dad. Up until today, probably. But growing up, okay, just between us, because he's not here, he was often wrong about things, but in time he matured and he understood, and he got pretty smart thanks to my unrelenting efforts. But the lies, you see, there were things that he insisted were true, and quite frankly, they weren't. A little dabble, do ya? Anybody old enough to remember Brill Cream? There you go. You see, my dad used it. He told me it was good stuff. Made your hair look clean and left it manageable. Well, as a child, my hair grew straight up. So the thought of a little manageability was quite attractive. Now, perhaps my definition of a little dab and his were at odds, but I can assure you that all of that Brill Cream messing up my hair did not look good. It was not attractive, and I don't care how much or how little you use, it doesn't look clean, okay? A little dabble, do ya, was a lie. And for those of you too young to know what I'm talking about, imagine putting toothpaste in your hair. That's pretty much what Brill Cream was like. Another lie, and I may have shared this with you before, because I've been traumatized by it. My grandparents came home from a trip on the continent. They had been in Spain and Italy and other European hotspots, and they returned bearing gifts for the whole family. And of course, they knew what a little 5-year-old boy wanted most. They brought me 2 pairs of pants. I stand corrected. No, I was 6. I was 6. That's right. Because, see, these pants were the latest style in Europe, I was assured. They were all the rage. They were leather. Not lederhosen, no. They were full-length leather pants, one pair green, the other brown. They kind of looked like the upholstery in an Impala, all right? And on top of that, they were lined, so my little legs perspired considerably. My dad told me they looked great and that the kids at school would love them. That was a lie. Compounded with another lie. But I must have believed him because I wore them to school. Grade 1, the only kid in the neighborhood, probably the whole country, wearing leather pants. And the kids, who were not quite as cosmopolitan or as sophisticated as my grandparents, they were quite sure that they were actually rubber pants that I'd been forced to wear because I didn't have bladder control. I recall that they made the point rather more poetically than I just did, but you get the point. It was humiliating. Couple more lies for you. Norman, just be yourself. People will like you for who you are. Do I need to humiliate myself by explaining how that lie would haunt me with my vast collection of Star Trek memorabilia, including all the dolls? Especially when I was old enough to date or be turned down for dates. Learning how to use a slide rule is never a waste of time, my dad told me. sitting at the children's table is just as good as sitting at the adult table. No, it's not. It's not. It's not even close. To begin with, it's a card table with a short leg, and it wobbles, and your cousins spill things, and they touch your food, and there are no seconds when you're just... Sorry, I got carried away. Just... Everything is easier when you use a level. My dad still insists on that one to this day. Now, you have to be with him, you know, in May, putting the dock into the lake. Thunder and lightning all around us, rain coming down in torrents, and I'm out in the lake, the water's well over my rubber boots, holding the dock section up about here. Is this good, Dad? And my father, appreciating the difficulty and the need to get this done quickly, you know, with lightning and all, and I'm standing in water, replies, "Can you see the bubble? It's not quite level. Lift it up another 3/4 of an inch. Oh, not 1 inch, not 1/2 inch, just 3/4 of an inch. To all you engineers out there, levels do not make things easier. They might make them stronger, they might make them better, they do not make them easier. So you see my point? My dad's a liar. Now, to be fair, I too am a dad, and I have told a few lies to my sons. Things like, "It's the thought that counts." No, it's not. The Three Stooges were geniuses. The music of the Kingston Trio is timeless, and the Leafs will probably win a Stanley Cup one day. The other lie that I tell, it's probably my favorite, "I'm not angry." Now, my kids know that I'm lying. They know that I'm angry. And as clever as I try to be, apparently, I give it away with my sigh. I'm told it's obvious. But let's get back to my father's lies. I was seeking advice once about what to grow in my new garden, years ago. And he said to me, and I quote, "Mint would be nice." You know about mint, don't you? It grows everywhere. It takes over. It is unrelenting. It undermines your whole garden. You plant mint, you have mint, and only mint. I could never get rid of it. We simply had to move. Okay, that actually is one of my lies. We didn't move. But I've never forgotten the mint. It's kind of like mustard seed, which finally gets me round to the gospel. And a lie that Jesus tells. Well, he doesn't tell it, but much like the children's table at family gatherings, he tries to make us believe something that isn't actually true. Because when you hear the parable, it sounds so nice, so happy, so growy. The mustard seed, tiny but mighty. And much like the people who have to sit at the children's table, you know, will grow into be a great thing. Grows and grows and becomes a home to lovely birds, we're told. Seems nice, promising. Unless you're a farmer, you know, let's remember to whom Jesus was speaking. He was talking to farmers and farm workers. And they know about the mustard seed. They know that the mustard plant is hardy and it's unrelenting. And you get mustard in your crops and it takes over. Like the story says, it provides branches, you know, for the shelter for the birds. Yes, the birds that are eating your crops. How nice that they can live right there. Hey, the mustard absolutely undermines everything. This is not a nice, happy story. This is about a farm being ruined, birds nesting in your livelihood. As a father, I know a lot about being undermined. I am undermined by fashion that says that the best jeans have the most holes. Never understood that. I'm undermined by a culture that praises celebrity over contribution or substance. I'm undermined by a society that says, pick a side and stick to it through hell or high water. But if I'm honest, I will tell you that not all undermining is bad. Some things should be undermined. I know that as a father. Much of what I say as a father is puffery and posturing. It's a little dramatic, just between us. You could take someone's eye out with that thing. Really? Is that likely to happen? Sometimes my words reveal good parenting skills, but not always. I've tried. I still try. Desperately, I try to be taken seriously, to sow some kind of crop of respect and admiration. I want my kids to think I'm cool. When I tell them how funny the Three Stooges are, I expect them to be awed by my knowledge, my insight, and my wit. When I tell them that I'm not angry, I expect them to be impressed by my incredible self-control and my patience. I want to sow a crop of respectability and power and control. I want to be kind, gentle, all-knowing, all-powerful. I want to be dad. But something undermines me. They laugh at me and they do impressions of me. They roll their eyes at me and they think that I'm old and foolish. I'm 56. I'm not old enough to be old and foolish yet. And by the way, they were doing it when I was 30. So what is it that undermines my authority and the position of power in my family? What is the thing that, like the mustard seed, is scattered through my relationship with my children? What is this stuff that grows all over the place with no regard for power, authority, or position? I think it's the same thing that was behind all of my father's lies to me. Like the mustard seed, it's hard to see. It starts out small, and it grows, and it grows, and then there's no stopping it. A little dabble, do you? My dad wanted me to feel good about my appearance. He wanted me to be able to play at being a man before I had to become one. He lied, but there was something more behind it. Sitting at the kids' table, my dad wanted me to be included, but also know that I didn't have to be an adult or pretend to be one to be included. There will always be a place for me, especially for me. His advice about people and being myself, he wanted me to just be myself with people so that I wouldn't grow up having to pretend to be somebody he wanted me to be, or to be somebody that I might not like as much as the real me. There was something inside all of his lies. I'm not giving up on the leather pants yet. I'm really not sure on that one. But I'll assume that he wanted me to learn to respect my elders and value their gifts in my life, maybe. Or maybe he wanted me to learn to stand out in a crowd and not be afraid of being different. Maybe. And maybe when it comes to the leather pants, I'm just going to give that one to Dad and let him have that one as a mulligan. But behind all the other lies was love. All that he told me, right or wrong, he told me because he loved me. And that's the mustard seed, the love. He wanted to share the best of himself with me, his experience, his advice, his caring. No matter what we do, you and me, if we can be undermined by love, then something worthwhile can grow. Because on our own, we mess it up. On our own, we got our kids wearing leather pants. But if we can be undermined by love, see, it's not easy. Speaking as a father, it's easy for us to get all caught up in proving ourselves or finding a way to love ourselves through our children. And even when we get it right, we give of ourselves not for our own satisfaction, but we give of ourselves because we love our children. And this isn't the exclusive privilege of a biological parent. And by the way, children are not limited to a customer. Some children I know have many fathers, people that they trust, those who give of themselves, those whose lives are interwoven, even overtaken by love. Because it's all about love. Invisible, yet powerful. Small, but mighty. Easy to start, really hard to get rid of. Like a mustard seed. Starts out small enough. A smile. A little patience listening to a child's story for the 26th time. And it doesn't actually always happen top down either. Sometimes it's listening to an adult story for the 26th time. But it grows. This love is the essence of the kingdom of God. It's what makes God, God. And it can take the air out of some of our puffery. And it allows my kids to laugh at me when I'm full of myself, which happens from time to time. It allows me to laugh at my kids and delight in them even when they're making fun of me. It's what allows me to be a father to my sons and for them to sometimes be like a father to me. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. So I invite you today, as you go through the day, to consider all the people in your life who have shared their insight, their experience, their caring, and their love with you. Not because it made them so much more impressive, but because they really want you to know, to learn, and to grow. Look behind the words and the actions and see the love scattered all around, growing, even taken over like mint or mustard seed will. To all of you, for all that you've scattered, thank you, because it continues to grow. And for all that you've received, be thankful and know that you are blessed beyond all the right techniques and clever words. You're blessed by love that survives all the mistakes and all the misinformation. All the lies your fathers have told you can be made right by the truth of their love. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for all those who have given of themselves that we might learn, that we might grow, that we might be loved and included. We give thanks for all the opportunities that we have had to give of ourselves for others, to others, that they might discover who they are. And on this day, God, we thank you for the many ways that you give of yourself, that we might be who we are, loved, included, embraced in Jesus Christ, embraced in the Spirit, embraced in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.